Blog Talk Radio.
We are Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm your boy, Jeff, and I'm your boy, Jeff, the friend of the cool, the feminine of the school, reaching my threshold, staring at the truth till I'm blind. My body's stupid, stereo putrid, spilling out music, in the road to it, reaching my threshold, staring
at the truth. Hey, everybody, it has been a long 3 weeks since the last time I spoke to you guys. This is Black NPR. This is the mighty Daniel Crudup shooting out across the stars and the universe. Sadly, if you are an alien listening to this, that's depressing as fuck because we're about to get into some stuff. So, as normal, we're going to do our news at the top end. We're going to do a new segment this week, which is called the Song of the Week, a song I think you guys need to hear. And we're going to jump into our big one. So, this is a dessert week. We won't be talking anything too depressing. We're going to be going into the movie Goodfellas with an expert. Queen Seminole movie. I will guarantee you the word whore will become the word hula by maybe 9:35, 9:45. Hula, Karen, all these things will be said and used. You go to BlackNPR.com if you want to tweet me there. It's BlackNPRPod at Twitter.com or TheBlackNPR at Outlook. Quick heads up to next week, just so if I don't get to it, you'll know it. Next week, we're talking about religion. I'm going to have very religious Christina Clemente, who is a person that I speak to all the time. She's very scientific, but for whatever the reason, she believes in God. And I'm going to have someone else who's not as into God, who's not atheist, but someone who's questioning. And we're going to see where it goes, because I have some thoughts and ideas, and we're going to the different religious platforms, what have you. But let's hop into the news. First up, Amazon has made its decision on its new headquarters. So I don't know if you're familiar with Amazon. If you order stuff in there, you have a guy who's on a friend of the show, Jake State Farm, who practically tied to them. They're going to be opening their second headquarters. The first headquarters is in Seattle. The second headquarters is apparently going to be between LIC New York and Northern Landing, North Virginia. And they came to the anticipated headquarters too. The bunch of cities made pitches, promised favorable tax breaks, other amenities. You know, it's going to be probably one of the raddest places to work. But with that being said, I don't know how familiar you guys are with Long Island City. I think a lot of you guys are Brooklyn folk. But Long Island City used to be real chill, cargo, that type of what have you. And it really is Hong Kong right now. And it's just a weird place to be. But they set it up. And on Amazon's part, they have promised $5 billion investment and 50,000 jobs between here and Northern Landing. So, I mean, that's good because niggas like to work. But with that being said, they're saying that the entire search was a sham. They knew they was coming to Long Island City, that they had no intention of going to butt-fuck Georgia or ass-crack Mississippi or pussy-fart Iowa, and no intention of going to those places. And they just lied to kind of get them to kind of ratchet up the fucking number so LIC or in, you know, New York would be available to it. And joining, it's JetBlue, Fresh Direct, and Citi, and other kind of office over there. I used to work in LIC. There was a Avirex, give my age, there was an Avirex factory store over there. And when niggas would get out of jail, they would come off the bus, take the train over, and buy Avirex jackets. I don't know if they still, I would imagine if you burn there long enough, you'd want an Avirex jacket, because why wouldn't you? Any man from the 90s would love an Avirex jacket. Because the hoes love Avirex jackets. Avirex jackets and Jabot jeans. Next up, El Chapo's lawyers allege that the president of Mexico has taken millions in bribes from the Sinaloa cartel. And now, obviously, my life is a risk for reporting it, but it's fine. Current and former presidents, too, not just one. But that's one, in my opinion, that's no shit news, right? you don't get to be as big as these fucks are. Like, we're talking about Amazon on one end. But in essence, the cartels are as big, if not bigger, than a lot of these corporations. You don't get to just exist without help. And he's saying that, and he's also saying that he's being framed because the person who's really responsible is a guy by the name of El Mayo, which is fucking gross. But I would imagine if my name is El Mayo, it's like what he smells. He smells like a fart. It's gross, El Mayo. That's just me not like a mayonnaise. So I apologize, you guys are mayonnaise lovers. Not a fan. Next story, we're in California now. So I'm going to give you a heads up, a lot of you guys. This show, in about a year's time, won't be moving dates, but I'm going to be operating from the distant past because I'm going to be in the West Coast. So I was flipping the coin between L.A. and Seattle. And the reason I'm not going to L.A. is because, as Stella, there's a bunch of wildfires plaguing the SoCal and surrounding areas. And apparently the wealthy are using private fire brigades and better equipment like the Kardashians and the, music stars, what have you. But why is place – all right. Can you imagine living in a place where you had to deal with not just cracking apart and you falling into it like a biblical goddamn plague? It's just catching fire. Like, not a fire. It caught fucking fire. Then you had that big black nigga that looked like fucking LL Cool J, Dorner, who was going around clipping people and sneaking out of people's backyards like a raccoon with a gun. No, 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 no. So I will be living in Seattle. So the black NPR, in about a year's time, maybe a year from now, this is going to be a West Coast production with West Coast fans, I would imagine. So keep your ears out for that. But yeah, right now they're saying the death toll, I think it's 42. They're looking for more. It's one of the worst ever. But there was one like maybe a month or two prior where somebody set it off. They're saying PG&E is responsible for it. But our president, President Jackass, said that it was mismanagement from the forest. So I don't know how forests are mismanaged when it's your goddamn job to run federal things. And you're going to blame and withhold money from a federal thing because you don't want to blame a corporate company. But anywho, next one, because last week we were off because our sweet, sweet producer, Brooklyn Black, was sick last week. He could have Googled what was wrong with him, but he chose not to. And he was struggling. He had a rough go. So he missed it. But last week was the midterm elections, as we had our midterm election special with David Brass and Chantel Branch. Remember that name. What we did was we talked about all the different races. For the most part, that blue wave that a lot of us were anticipating didn't happen. It's more like a blue ripple, blue pop. So we got the House back, and I say that we, only because the Republican side is so aggressive in a thing that I can't even claim middle ground anymore, even though I would love to. So we, the Democrats got a bunch of different seats. Republicans got the House and got a lot of seats in the House. But right now, there's a lot of shakeups in terms of when you have this set up. I don't know if you're familiar with it. About 2 minutes. Man. So there's a lot of different things going on in terms of the like committees and leadership. So if you're a majority leader, if you like have the majority of the Senate, that dude's the leader. But if you lose your majority, they're now a minority leader. So who you might want to be in charge for your minority might not be who you want to be in charge for your majority. So that's coming up. Also, there's recounts being set up for the Senate in both Florida, the Florida Senate, between Scott and the other dude, and the governor between our boy Gilliam and DeSantis, the Trump guy. So we're going to keep our eye on that, and probably next week we'll have some news. But I think we're rolling up on my favorite part of time where I get to speak about David Braff's businesses and other businesses that we support to keep this radio station on the air. Now, in this last 30 seconds, if you listen to this show, you're black, white, gay, or different, and you want to have your stuff connected to an intelligent quality show, please contact Free Game Radio. You can hit me on my Twitter, which is Black NPR, blacknpr@twitter.com or blacknpr@outlook or my Facebook, Danny, D-A-N-N-Y, Crudup, and I will gladly put you through and you can put some money and add towards a business. It's a lot of different shows. We got Tazera Cody talking about taxes. We have Love, Peace, and Slander, which is our flagship show, which is my buddy Ernest Butler and his queen, Ali Nicole, talking about just the things today, more lighthearted version of this show, and probably a lot more streamlined. David Braff's on that. We have Brooklyn Black, our producer, who's playing some of the best music in the city right now, among other shows. So please support us as we support you guys. We're doing the best we can, just noodling about in different situations. So let's get to it. I'm going to read the let's get to what we're talking about. Hold on. Give me 1 second, guys. Here we go. Okay. We're being sponsored by ME Productions for all your video production and videographer needs. Also, hit them up on Facebook at ME Productions or email heyme.tv@gmail.com. Thanks to our sponsors, all the sponsors over at LitBK, and the website is litbkny.com. Put a customer code PREGAMEISLIT, just PRE, GAME is LIT, for 20% off your purchase. And don't forget iCraveWare. There we go. iCraveWare.pregame for 15% off your purchase. Perfect. Let me get to the bottom. Pregame Radio is a flagship. LPS is just number one rated. So just giving you the heads up. But everybody on that everyone on our station is given 100%. So whenever you come up with what you want to come up with in terms of ad copy, we work with you. I'm an advertising guy. So if you want to spread out how you want to see it, I can give you your metrics, whatever you need. But if you listen to this and you feel like you have a product or somebody who you think may have a product or a business that they want supported, please hit us so we get you on there. Now, without further ado, is a new segment. I like to call this the Joint of the Week. This week, it's a song by this young cat, because I want to play new stuff, because we can play old stuff all day and all night. And, you know, we all know what we like. So I'm trying to give you stuff that's new. And there's a song called Extra by a group called Lucky Day. I think they're pretty rad. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a bop. It feels very late fall, but you could probably play it in the spring, too. We're going to play this out, and then we'll get back from it, and we'll get right into Goodfellas Talk. Does that work? Yay.
Your lips are moving, but I don't really understand what you're saying when you talk to me. You know what you're doing, and you'd rather never talk than admit to what you are with me. So don't test me, it's too high. Doing the wrong thing with the right guy. I won't lie. Try and make me say so. Baby, don't think right now. Stay up, but lie down. Fuck how? No, it's so hard to say no.
I'm like, wow, ain't no need to sell it. You know you don't gotta do extra. And you about to make me do extra. Just keep going, wow, ain't no need to sell it. No, you get a hate for us. How you talk to me?
I knew it was on when I met her at the bar. We could never turn it off, so we keep it rolling. Wanted to see my room, never been a 5-star. She giving more than her all, yeah, she overflowing. Nobody ever did it to her body, I just threw her good vibes. And she threw the vibe right back. Always invited to the party, let her body do the talk. Champagne ain't the only thing draining this motherfucker. No, you still around, stay real. I know you give me something I can feel. Money keep on stacking to the sky. See it in your eyes. Wanna do something you feel. We keep going round and round on wheels. Who do we really know we gon' die?
What's going on? That was Lucky Day. The song was Extra. I fucks with him heavy. Brooklyn Back had a really good point. It sounded like Wiz Khalifa with Mac and Devin go to high school, which I thought was pretty rad. The beat production that's very internet-y, which I thought was dope. So I want to bring on the expert, a frequent guest, my best friend, my sister, Chantal Brand. Say hello. What are you doing?
Hello?
There she is. What's going on?
Oh, you can hear me. Hi.
Yeah. Yeah, you was on
I didn't get the moment. Oh, I didn't get the message that said, you know, you can talk to whoever you can talk to or whatever.
Thanks. So we're talking about Goodfellas. It's one of her favorite movies. I came to it late. I'll admit, I saw this for 3 years ago.
Okay.
But I got it. But I got it. I got it. 100%
yeah.
I got it. Because I was like, oh, this is a Queens movie. Oh, got it. These are the people who, this is specifically made for, I guess, if you do Untouchables, which was in its own thing, this was more realistic. This was Ray Liotta's peak. I don't think he ever reached this.
You don't think so?
Again, I don't think he ever had a moment in the sun again. I think this was probably his beginning and middle and end.
Oh, I think he's such a good actor.
He's a good actor. I just think that this was it. I think it worked for him because he was intense and young. I don't think being intense and older worked out for him so much.
Mm,
it's just
okay.
Quieting to have that in a 40, 50-year-old body. But I saw a movie the other day called Revolver that he was in, and it was tough stuff. it was tough stuff. And it was because he's like a 50-year-old man still doing that.
Well, he had a run playing Frank. He played Frank Sinatra, which was a stretch. Aside from the blue eyes, but he did that really well. But he had no business playing Frank Sinatra from a look perspective.
He should play Frank Sinatra's buddy Bob.
Sure.
But he should be playing fucking Sinatra. I don't know who could play Frank Sinatra now. I couldn't give you a name.
Leonardo DiCaprio, maybe.
Yeah, but he could do anything, can he? He's really
the best.
Yeah,
he can. Pretty amazing. Shout out to Generation X. He can do anything.
He really, truly could do it. So we're getting some interest from the doobies. Like, My Blue Heaven was a comedic version of Goodfellas. Do you agree with that?
No, maybe. Is there a chat room?
No, you can see that. Because I asked my producer a different way. So that's a producer kind of chiming in. So when I chime in from somebody, it's a producer.
Oh, okay. Hi, producer.
Yeah. Yeah, producer. Here we go.
Whatever.
On our way.
Okay. Whatever.
All right, let's get into it. So I'm going to let you drive.
So 1990.
Your favorite movie.
It's a 1990 release. Martin Scorsese is the director. It is chock full of some of the greatest actors of the 20th century. Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci.
Like our generation.
Of our generation, sure. Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci. Ray Liotta, Lorraine Bracco, Ileana Douglas,
Isn't Ileana Douglas a treasure?
She's a treasure. She's so weird looking. And her role is so weird. Debbie Mazur is in there.
Queen's Own Debbie Mazur.
You don't know who Debbie Mazur is?
That's a Queen's Own.
Oh, for Rockaway's Own.
Yeah, Queen. I'm not just going to say for
Rockaway.
I'm not going to do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Debbie Mazur from what's the word? Jungle Fever.
Yeah.
She was a white from Jungle Fever. Yeah.
Yeah, she was in Bensonhurst then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, so where do you want to start with regard to this movie that is it's 2.5 hours of excellent. It could have been
Well, the
movies,
beginning,
but...
I will say, believe it or not, might be a hot take. I think, you know, the what we always say about black comedy?
Uh-huh.
About how, not black comedy, but black dramas, how they do, like, this is me, remember that? But how I got here with a voiceover? I think black movies got their voiceover bug.
But you had to tell the story. You had to see why he was never made. So you want to go, let's start from the beginning. The main character is Henry Hill. Henry Hill is an Irish-Italian gentleman from East New York, Brooklyn, who at a very young age begins to be a mafioso associate. So he's
Because he sees people in his neighborhood doing it, and he's like, I want to be like them. And it's unlike when you watch Bronx Tale where there's like a fight for his soul. There's no fight here.
No, that's not true. There is a fight for his soul. His father's
there's
a working
fight for it.
Man.
It just is not it's not a strong fight. It just
his dad was so stressed out that he had the three kids, the one handicapped son, and you know he was just working. His mother's home, and he's out. He's 14 years old, and it's really a good story. It's really I think people find it relatable because it's the two-parent household in the hood, and you just get caught up in the light, and you start hanging out on the block that you shouldn't be hanging out at because he was hanging out at the cab stand on Pickens Avenue with the mob guys, and he became the gold.
I want you black people to realize your neighborhood wasn't yours until it was yours. They was out there doing their Bensonhurst nonsense in East New York at a time.
Right. I mean, East New York. You
know, I know a lot of people
know
that. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
And they shoot most of the movie. All of the movie is shot in New York. It's shot in Brooklyn. It's shot in Queens. It's shot on Long Island. A lot of it's shot in Jamaica. A lot of it.
Yeah.
It's shot right in Jamaica. But the idea of the
pink
point
Cadillac,
of the
when they find him in a pink Cadillac, I know someone who saw it.
Yeah. I mean, there's an article in the New York Times about it. But the whole point of the story, the reason why you need that voiceover is you've got to understand the ethos that Henry's supposed to be running under. You never tell on your friends, and you always keep your mouth shut. Now, that's what he was told when he was 15, 16 years old. And for most of the movie, until he realizes that a lot of this is bullshit, that's how he's conducting himself. Because the beginning of the movie is also juxtaposed with them breaking a cardinal rule, which is killing a made guy. You know, they kill
Bobby
Bat.
Now, I will say that, like, I didn't catch the back end of it. I mean, I saw the back end, but I'm saying, like, in terms of remembering it. Didn't he get permission to clip Nikki? Not Nikki, Joel Pesci's character.
No, Joel Pesci's character was killed by the bosses.
Yeah, I'm just saying, of all the people who died, like, no one died. And it was a rule break. And then everyone who died was ordained.
No,
basically.
The person who they had in the trunk, Bobby Bat, the one who said, go and get your fucking
box. Oh, okay. In the beginning of the movie,
when they're on the highway, he's talking about how he always wanted to be a gangster. And they've got the person, Bobby Bat wasn't even dead. He didn't die until they stabbed him up in the trunk at the beginning of the movie, and then they put him in the hole. But when you watch,
started to shit with him about, he said, well, like a clown to you, and not the clown to you, but when he doesn't get shine box, when they were at the restaurant.
Yeah, we tell him to go get your shine box. And then,
Zags was in jail.
Yeah, because he embarrassed him in front of all of those people. So there's awesome themes through this movie. There's the hood theme. There's the friendship theme. There's the rules and how you deal with following rules. There's the people that you look up to who you think are going to look out for you. And you're getting to find out that those people are mere selfish mortals, and they don't look out for you. So there's all of these things.
That's why I believe wholeheartedly, I agree with you, that's why you needed voiceover here. That's why I think all Scorsese movies require voiceover, because in a lot of his movies, like Wolf of Wall Street, all of them, they're kind of giving you these world building on a high level, and he's world building very quickly, but he didn't want to do exposition, so it was being explained as it went on. I feel like when black movies do it, they just do it for the sake of argument.
I think that the Hughes brothers did an excellent job with Society. Menace to Society has a lot of voiceover, and it's really well done. Because it's a similar, when you're telling a nonlinear story, that's when you really do need someone to kind of walk
you know
through
what's
going on. Yeah. So
I'm thinking
Menace
more
is nonlinear.
Like Belly was the worst.
Well, Belly's the worst movie, so let's not do that. Let's not disrespect Goodfellas.
I know. I'm just letting you all know, audience. It's going to be probably real time. So what's going to probably happen is I'm going to go to one of your people's houses, and we're going to start it, and I'm probably going to see if I get some extra time to, like, just hang out. And we'll watch that verbatim. I think that movie deserves a whole fucking week and a half because it's just so ridiculous and insane.
So
I think it owes a lot of its aesthetic to Goodfellas.
You came to Goodfellas a couple of years ago. So you're looking at
I came
at
to Goodfellas
no...
after I saw the influences. So like I saw the influences first, like Animaniacs. Mm-hmm. Animaniacs is funny, I think you gotta give Animaniacs credit. They had such adult references on a children's show. Like you know what I mean? Like in regards to just because when I remember watching the movie, I was like all from the show. Like they really only just stripped the violence from it, but every element there, the Bobby De Niro character, the Pesci character, the Henry Hill character, they had all of the elements there for you. They just stripped the hard violence from it.
Right, because Jimmy is Henry and Mickey's OG, right?
Yeah.
So he's the one that's supposed to be walking them through it. But I don't know if Jimmy's not 100. Jimmy's Irish. He's not even part Italian. So he's never going to be married. Jimmy Conway is going to never be made. Nicky's the only one that's 100% Italian, so he's the one that could be made. And then there's Henry, he's half, and, you know, he's a good earner, as they say, so he gets to get as close as they can get. Now, the buddy part of it is that they come up with this crime together as friends after they've run through and ruined all kinds of businesses throughout Queens and Brooklyn that they're basically bankrupting, like when they bankrupt the Bamboo Lounge. It's when you look at it as an adult, you realize that they weren't nice people. What they were doing was real fucked up. But when you come to a movie like this at 14, 15, it just seems like a crazy story of people from not that long ago doing ill shit and not really giving a fuck about it. And then when the consequences come, you almost feel bad. I almost feel bad for Nicky.
Because the consequences when they came
I don't feel
down
bad
the pipe.
For Nicky when he gets killed in when his character in Casino gets killed. But in this movie,
no,
I felt
he was
bad.
Begging. He was begging for it in Casino. Like, he was begging for it. He was carrying on.
Yep.
Also, it wasn't New York. He was actually from someplace else, if I remember correctly. But he was begging for it. And the only reason I felt bad is because when he saw the brother, he let out such a noise, such a mournful sound. No! And it broke my heart. But in this one, he also let out the same sound. But he thought it was, he literally went from having it be the greatest day of his life, he was about to get made, to seeing that plastic on the floor and knowing what was about to pop off.
Right. Now, so if we start from the beginning, you realize that Henry is first an errand boy, but also a sensitive person. So he's always sensitive, but he's always got this in a little bit of his downfall.
I think we may have made a mistake. I believe he's Nicky in a Casino, and he's Tommy in Goodfellas.
Oh, right. Yeah, he is Tommy. Sorry.
Okay,
So he's Tommy.
Yeah, but that might be on me because I had mentioned him as Nicky before.
You did. So Tommy is his friend that they know from.
For whatever the reason, I think his character he played in Casino was more definitive to me. So even though when I see him in Casino, I still watch Goodfellas again, his character Casino, I think, stood out more.
Okay.
The same way
I don't know. You know what it is, too? You've only seen... How many times have you seen Goodfellas, though?
I've seen each 3 times.
I'm watching it
just
right
cause
now.
Just because I feel like... Because, I mean, from a new person's point of view... I mean, you know, we can get into it later on. But go on. So we start out... let's just start from the soup to nuts. So we start out...
He's young.
He was...
He wants to be down. He's an errand boy. He's very fast. He goes from... You know, watching the cab stand to starting to do little jobs for them. The fact is that he also starts to get influence in the neighborhood. Remember, when he gets in trouble for truancy, and his mother, like his father, fucks him up real bad. He goes to Paulie and Paulie's brother Titty and tells him what happened. They go to the post office, grab the mailman. And basically fuck the mailman up and tell him don't deliver anything from the school to his house or we're going to fucking cook you in the pizza oven. So these people seem super powerful. Like, think about that. That was a fucking federal crime. So they basically fuck with the mailman. They stop it so he can still work for them. They disrespect his parents, but he's so caught up in them that he allowed that shit because he wants to be down with them so bad. And the thing with the Tommy character is Tommy's always out for self because I don't know if you remember the first time that Henry gets arrested, Tommy runs. Now he does run to tell them what's going on, but he leaves because they're selling the cigarettes out of the back. They're selling the cigarettes at the factory, and the cops come and he's like, "Oh no, it's okay." And the cops are like, "What the fuck are you talking about? It's okay," because he had seen them pay off the cops before, so. He's getting this understanding of the world but not realizing how the world works. But then because he doesn't tell, that's when they realize that they feel like they can trust him. So they bring Henry in. They go from him just being Jimmy's guy to being, you know, getting close to Paulie, getting close to Tootie, doing bigger jobs,
right.
Doing
hold
hijacking.
Hold on. Shut up. We got a call. Black 1814. Don't want to get the back end of 1814.
Can you hear me?
There you go. Who are we talking to?
This is Carmen.
Hey, you.
Hey, what's up?
Okay, what say you?
What, about Goodfellas? Okay, what point? What part?
Well, Chantel's driving it. So we're right now at the point where the postman is to get cooked, right?
But that's when... Yeah. When Henry starts cutting school, he gets cut letters from the postman, and that's when he gets his ass handed to him. So in order for him to stop getting the letters from the postman, he tells Paulie and Tutty about it, and that's when he stops getting the letters.
Yeah, I think we're at that point, right? Chantel, you can tell me if I'm wrong.
Yes, we are
okay.
At that point.
I drive.
All okay.
Right. All right, so at that point, go on. Yeah.
What's your opinion of the movie overall? So
well,
instead
basically,
of us going step by step by step of the, what do you think of the movie as a whole body of work?
Are you? My opinion?
Yes.
That's
all
real life. In terms of having, I say it's real life in terms of picking and choosing. To have a moral compass.
So do you
like,
think they have moral compasses?
Huh?
Do you feel like they had, like, strong moral compasses?
I feel like they had a strong code of ethics, but not a moral compass.
Right.
Meaning, like, okay, like, they had a sense of order, but it was still anarchy. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it was certain things you didn't do, like for instance, how Tommy died, right? Henry and Jimmy, they were basically, like, Henry was considered a mutt, so he couldn't be made. Jimmy was full Irish, so he couldn't be made. So the only one that could be made in their crew was Tommy. But Tommy jumped the gun because he killed the made guy. So that's one rule. Even though the dude, like, was out of pocket, I could see why Tommy, you know, went ham on him. But certain things you just don't do in terms of...
And if you remember, when Paulie asked Henry, what do you know about the guy down at the thing? Henry lies. Paulie says, I really could give a fuck. He could stay wherever he's at. So it wasn't even like that you just can't do it. They wanted nothing. They didn't like him. They didn't like him. They were like, fuck that guy. He's an asshole. But he's a made asshole, so you got to follow the rules.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's the thing. If you break, that's the thing. But you got to look at it like this. If you break rules, right, there's still consequences. So even if they, even though the guy, what was his last name, Joey Bags or whatever?
Bobby Bags.
Even though he was John Bags or whatever his name was, he, even though he was out of pocket and he knew he was wrong, that was like his get out of jail free card. Think about it. Like, being a made dude was like his get out of jail free card. So he used that to his advantage.
By the by.
Hmm?
Billy Bat's based on a real person, by the way.
Everything.
Oh, Joey
Bat.
Sorry.
Well, some of them were.
All of them were based on real people.
All of them were based on real people. Even Maury.
Yep, even Maury.
Even Maury. Every time they have a Jewish gangster, I always find it intriguing.
But no, it was just like, I feel like it touched on different things that you go through in life in terms of making choices. Like, same thing like when Henry first got arrested. They didn't, like, you know, in your family or my family, that would be a bad thing. But them, they was just like, okay, this is a part of being part of a crew. You're going to get arrested. So it was kind of like him.
But being arrested for them wasn't a big deal. Because they
were
just cooking,
they
were
there
red
for him.
Sauce and meat.
Right.
And they were like,
they was just like, as long as you're not a snitch, as long as you don't tell.
Right.
And I will
so
say,
that's where
I
things got sketchy
today.
With Goodfellas. Because, you know,
the red
everybody was on
meat.
Drugs and started talking.
The red sauce that they made in jail, apparently someone, there's a recipe for it, and you can find it online, the jail recipe for the red sauce they made in jail. That's something that interests either one of y'all. You want to make that red sauce at home.
We have skipped a very key
let's get back into it. Let's get back to the beginning.
Portion of this movie. Karen fucking Hill.
Karen Hill is the real MVP, in my opinion.
No.
Think about it. She was hiding guns. She was ringing bells in the middle of the night.
But do point to point. So we're going to say pro Karen Hill. Why pro Karen Hill? And you get 1 minute.
I find Karen Hill to be. Karen Hill is the chick from Long Island, from a really good neighborhood, who went from hating this dude to loving him. And because she thought he was attractive, he was very attractive to her, but his energy and the dangerousness, like, remember when she takes him to the surf club out in Atlantic Beach and the guy's there, like, her dickhead friend.
They went to Seaside Heights.
And when he comes to the crib after the guy tries to press her and touches her and she calls him, she didn't know what he was going to do. But once he did what he did, which was her block, she was all in.
What's that mean?
Yeah,
because
you think about it.
Like,
think
I'm
about
not
it.
Get
everybody,
married to a shooter.
Even though it was kind of real savage, if you look at the reality of it, but think about it. Every woman wants to feel protected like that, even though they probably don't know if the dude's going to go ham on them. But you think about it. If you call your dude or a guy that's interested in you, or he acting like he want to be your man, and the dude lives across the street from your house. You know, she said, then she said he lives across the street, like he's a neighbor's son or something stupid.
Yeah, she knew him her whole life.
He's the neighbor, the dude that Henry beat up lived across the street. So you think about it. The dude knows her family. So here it is, this dude, you know, touches you inappropriately or whatever you tell the other dude. You want to see if that guy going to do something.
I don't think that's what she was expecting.
I don't think she was
not
expecting,
you know,
violence, but she was expecting the dude to be like, stay away from my woman or something.
But she expected some level of defense. Three levels of it, right? You have a stern talking to
him. Think about it. When he came to the house, and she was looking at, she looked like she was like raped or something. Because the way she was covering her neck, she was just like, and he was like, what is wrong with you? And he took his gun out. He said, "What's wrong?" And she's like, "He got fresh with me." That's exactly what she said.
No, I'm going to tell you what she said. She said, "We were talking, and then he touched me. I told him, don't touch me. And then he touched me again. And then he pushed me out the car." That's what the fuck he did.
Yeah, but even still, you think about it. You tell somebody else that.
He pushed me out the car. That's why he has to go get her from a parking lot.
I will say, before my life is over, I'm expecting a phone call from you, and it sounds exactly like that.
I hate y'all.
He pushed me out the car. I told him not to. I said, "Don't, what you doing?" Then I got to sunny somebody. I don't want to sunny
that
nobody.
That is so true. Because he was just like, "I'll be right there."
Mm-hmm. I got to go.
I'll be right there.
They were in the
and she was dead ass holding the phone.
Because remember, him and Jimmy were at Maury on Queens Boulevard trying to get the money that Maury owes. He's like, "What the fuck? You know, why am I paying so much money?" And then Jimmy grabs Maury and knocks his wig off, chokes him with a phone wire, and he's like, "I want my money today." And then he hangs up the phone, and then the phone rings, and then that's when Karen's saying all this shit. And he leaves Jimmy
and then
there.
But Henry was low-key a psychopath, because he used to always laugh at somebody getting beat up. Think
that
about
funny.
It.
He knocked his fucking wig off, bro.
So, let me ask you a question then. Would you want to be somebody's Karen?
Would I want to be somebody's Karen?
Either one of you. Would you want to be somebody's Karen Hill? Not all the shit. Like, when you met the person and they were like that man, they were what have you. At the age you're at now, do you want to be somebody's Karen Hill? One, then the other one.
You can go ahead.
I already was somebody's Karen Hill, and it's not worth it.
And how so?
How so? Because I feel like even though you kind of live a certain, in terms of that person, like mm-hmm. I kind of need to say, I guess, you know, my ex did a lot of good, but at the same token, you always paranoid. You're always paranoid. You're always wondering what's going to happen to that person or what's going to happen to you. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a good way to live.
And Chantel, you?
First of all, Karen didn't even know what the fuck she was getting into. That's one. She had no idea what she was getting into. She was just from a very boring family. And once she was in, it seemed like she was just kind of like mesmerized. Because remember, she kept asking him, "What do you do?" So the beginning part of their relationship.
She liked the mystery. She liked the mystique of him.
Yeah, but once she was married to him, she thought that those people were horrible. She thought those women were horrible.
She said the way they dressed were horrible, the makeup.
Yeah.
She was like, Karen, I don't think people remember, Karen was an Italian or Irish. Karen
she was a Jewish
Jew.
Girl from Five Towns.
She was free.
An upper middle class girl from Five Towns.
Yeah.
There was nothing that they were doing. Nothing that Henry had.
As a Nick who married someone from Long Island, I get it.
No, but there was nothing Henry had that Karen hadn't seen before, except that there was a level of peace and comfort in her home. And while she seemed to love Henry very much, their life was chaotic, and it got chaotic really fast.
All right, so then, not a quick jump, but so when he goes and fucks with Ileana Douglas is the one he cheats with, right?
No, he doesn't. He's cheating with the girl with Janice Rossi.
And so then why did she show up? All right, so why did she show up to the crib? I'm not a woman.
Do you not remember what
she
said?
Think about it. Remember, they had nights for when they took out their girlfriends and their wives. And then the thing was, remember when Henry was locked up? Remember when Henry was locked up for and he had Karen bringing in drugs and stuff? And he saw her name in the book.
But before that, the reason why there was a problem is because he stopped coming home. So you could be out, but you come home. He stopped coming home. That's what, and he didn't come home for days. That's why she went over there. And then she went to Paulie and told Paulie, and again, back to these moral codes, when Paulie went over there, he said, "We're not animals. You got to go home. This is what it is.
Yeah.
This is not home. You got to go home."
You could do a thing with a guma, but you got to go home. You can't just live with your guma. You can't just carry on with your guma. You can do a thing,
it's not,
and you can have a night out.
It's not like a Caribbean divorce.
Like now, if it wasn't called Goodfellas, it was a West Indian movie, it'd be different. There'd just be a nigga living with somebody, and he'd pull up anytime he wanted, and some sad woman would show up and go, "I made your peas." And that would be how it would end. There'd be nobody ringing anybody's bell.
Yeah, Karen is fighting the whole way through. Like, she's fighting this life. Like, she's fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. So, no, I would not want to switch places with her, but I get why she wouldn't go down quietly. So when she goes to the lady's house, she has two small children. This man is her meal ticket, and he's not coming home. So what does that mean?
You've got to remember what time
it was. Back to her parents' house? So she goes there.
But that's the thing, and this is what I tell people. You can't mess with a married woman's husband and think that that woman is not invested. You see what I'm saying?
And then remember,
I look at it this way. If I was Karen and my husband wasn't coming home, or his money is late in the house, guess what? I'm going to find out where that money is going, and I'm going to make sure it's there. Like, so, yeah, she would have got her bell rung and everything else.
Because you guys remember.
It's not even like now where you could have your own gig. You can have your own gig. Your money was this nigga's money. So whatever he was bringing in was your money. So if he's not home, if nigga just tried to split the scene on you, you was fucked over. You were done.
Right. And the thing with Janice is sitting in the house crying, not knowing what to do. But it wasn't just that Karen rang Janice's bell. Karen rang everybody's bell.
She
rang his super's bell and said, "Do you know that you have a whore living in 2R? Janice Rossi is a fucking whore, and she lives in 2R.
1948. It's 948. The first reference of Tua.
She goes off, and then the thing of it is, then he gets locked up. He's starting to sniff coke, because what happens, they're doing the coke and then going down to Florida, beating people up, fucking up, not doing their work the way they're supposed to. That's where the turn happens, so they start with the coke. That's
the
before
turn.
They even know about the LaFonda.
But that's what they, that's what Paulie told them. He was like, "Listen, we do numbers, we do this, but no drugs." And they were like, "Why?" And he didn't want to tell them why they didn't want to get into the drug game.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, then Paulie tells her to go get on welfare and all of this other shit because he's locked up for, like, 5 years.
Yeah, he can't really do anything.
Yeah, but
he
when he comes
really
home, he comes home, he has a lick right away. They get out that apartment super fast.
Yeah.
So we need to get into the Louisiana, right? So the robbery.
Lutandra. So Maury brings the job, right? So Maury, who they fucked up, because Maury's a degenerate gambler. That's Maury's issue. Maury owns a wig shop. He's a degenerate gambler. He's involved with these.
Anyone listening to the show knows your boy is a degenerate.
Didn't Samuel Jackson mess that up?
No, he didn't.
Yes.
Didn't
he fall asleep with something crazy?
Yeah. Yes. Samuel Jackson played back
Edward.
The big
issue really was the fact that
and
these boys bought a pink Cadillac.
I remember that because they had the only
color
people line on there.
Thank you, Black. You're right. He didn't ditch the truck is what happened.
He didn't get rid of the truck and they found his fingerprints on it.
Yeah.
When you're thinking
so
about the fall asleep is when Henry tells Karen the people who get locked up are people who want to get locked up. And he says, "You know who gets locked up? Niggas and stick-up men who fall asleep behind the wheel of the truck." That's what he said.
That's the truest statement in that whole fucking
but
movie.
But that shit was crazy. I said, damn.
There's a lot of people in jail. They throw you in jail. Like this, I know so many people who break the law who are not in jail. If you don't want to go to jail, guess what? You're not going to go. Because you know what to do. Or just need to not stay out of fucking trouble. Or you can say you're going to fall asleep. If I'm committing a crime, the last thing I'm doing is going to sleep.
Right.
If you actively are a drug user, you may happen to fall asleep.
You need to be in jail. You're actively a goddamn drug user. You're going to jail. Breaking the law is not a, breaking the law is not an easy thing. If he no, of course you're going to fucking jail. Sooner or later,
right.
You're going to fucking nod. Or the person you're dealing with is going to nod.
That was the unsaid thing about Sax Edwards, because my dad went to high school with him, is that he had
right.
a dope habit.
He did. He was on heroin for like almost 2 decades or something like that.
Because this is an unwritten thing between me and Chantel, is that if I know you're on dope, we are not engaging anymore. I'm not hanging out with a dope guy. Because dope guys are loose lips, sick ships. I'm not fucking out with you. No. My life acquires finesse. If you are doped up, you're not
right.
capable of finesse. You're unable to know what you can say, what you can't say, what you can do, what you can't do. And we're doing crime, like legitimate high-level crime.
I don't know.
I get why they used him, because he was their way in. But him being a gambler, he didn't think out the way he wanted to do it. Got this guy who was a heroin addict who fucked it all up. And then the people he brought in
movie.
On it was buying fucking Cadillacs.
Well, the thing about that is that everybody had so much money. Because what I love about that is, think about the world we live in now with the airport. I can't bring a fucking dollar bottle of Poland Spring through TSA, these motherfuckers walked out of the airport with millions of dollars and nobody pulled out a gun. No one did anything.
No, but anytime you watch a movie now, right, if you watch a movie from back in the day, what they're capable of doing in an airport, like remember that trope of running in an airport and stopping a plane to confess your love? We all on board with it because it made sense, but you couldn't do that now.
No.
Because we have this conversation, we're talking about something completely different. We're talking about the amount of effort it took to get into the goddamn airport. You got to get your shoes taken off. You got to get investigated. At some of the airport, niggas literally put his hand on my meat.
Right, but think about these guys. These guys are easy.
I didn't have my license, though, to be fair, everybody. It wasn't because, you know, I'm just saying, I didn't have my license, so they molest you when you have your license.
They're like East New York. They're in Rosedale. They're all on the South Shore.
They were
in Harlem,
too.
They come off of Rockaway Boulevard, pull into the fucking airport, do their thing, and then just drive back out, distribute the money. It's not
your opinions. Ask both of y'all, what were your opinions and who you think fucked it up the most? I think Pink Cadillac fucked it up the most. Because that Pink Cadillac was the line between what happened and what occurred.
Honestly, I think Henry messed it up the most. Because think about it, he was lying to everybody. He had Jimmy thinking one thing, Paulie thinking one thing, and the only person who really knew was Tommy.
See,
the only
I
person
think Jimmy
he was kind of low key straight with.
But Jimmy went too far, I think. Jimmy, I think, went way too far with closing.
Now, you know what it was with Jimmy? He knew Jimmy would fucking kill him.
No,
so
I
but you kill so many people, it brings heat. He killed so many people so quick. So much, to my opinion, one of the best montages in all movies of just watching people you found in trucks and beds to Eric Clapton's gorgeous fucking arrangement of Layla's a piano exit. Keep that in mind.
Layla's reprise, yeah.
Oh, damn, right.
Uh-huh.
But that was wonderful. Like, but then that sets up a whole new movie. Because it starts being Goodfellas. It starts being, I got to get out of this because I'm over my head.
Well, they were
like,
in over their head, too. Before Lufthansa.
But you know who had a good soundtrack, too? Casino.
Yeah, I would do Casino, too. Casino was such a weird movie because I felt Casino was.
I love Casino.
I think Goodfellas did a really good job of a thing. I think Casino was just people doing great fucking up at the same time.
I think Goodfellas gave you an idea of what mob life is like and how they
New
pulled
York,
off
New
their
York
crime.
Mob life.
Yeah.
New York mob
and then
life.
I think,
was
no, but the thing about it, all the mobsters in Casino, all of them were from, like, I think Kansas City.
Kansas City, yeah.
They were from Kansas City, and they were going back and forth to Vegas. So they wasn't from New York.
The thing about Goodfellas, which is an honest portrayal, is that crime is not done by just crime bosses. And most of the work, like any work, in any capitalistic structure, there's going to be workers. and there's going to be middle management. So the reason why I said Jimmy fucked up is that Jimmy was not a good project manager. He did not vet the people that he included in the project properly. That's the problem. If Jimmy would have taken
a look at it from the gaze of a project
manager, that's the thing.
Stacks wouldn't have been involved.
On the back end, I think Jimmy was too trusting, too, thinking that Henry had everything under control.
No, why do you guys keep thinking that Jimmy – no, Jimmy was – this was Jimmy's – Jimmy was the center of it. He was the one that was the one that was kind of like pulling Henry was more like the PR person, so he kept the peace. The problem was –
yeah, but he was even telling everybody not to buy nothing.
If he would have picked better people, they would have knew not to buy nothing. That's my point. They wanted to do it when they wanted to do it, and he picked people. Some of the people were not strong links.
No. Because
that's
the
problem.
People in that group already need to get clipped. So let's go back to another movie, right? That's just a black movie. Let's do New Jack City. There's like two people in that room when he's like setting up the crew that should never been in that room. Christopher Williams, no. She had something. No, Christopher Williams was a weak link. His brother was a weak link.
Right.
And it gives you a goddamn weak link, and then when you set this thing up, they don't get stronger. But now, if anybody was to flip them over, you fucking wash. That's why organized crime doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It is always predicated on a part, all the parts working properly.
True.
And you know what else Jimmy did that was fucked up? You know what he did that was real fucked up?
What?
He didn't pay Maury.
Maury still owed him.
No. Maury bought the job to them. He didn't pay Maury. And Maury was the one that kept it quiet. He was the last one that they killed, but he killed Maury. And that was just because he didn't want to pay him.
After that movie, I don't let people I don't know behind me in cars.
I can understand that.
Like, if I get in a whip, and it's like me and you and some random nigga, one of your barber friends, I'm not sitting on that.
I'm
not sitting one of your barber friends, or one of your fucking DJ friends. I'm not sitting in front of that nigga. No. I know what your niggas got planned. So, because he was just having a night. Maury was not thinking anything bad was going to happen to him. And next thing you know, his fucking head bouncing off the fucking dashboard.
Nah, Maury was annoying, though.
Agreed.
But
a lot of people think I'm annoying.
Maury, over time, he got a little bit too aggressive. And that's how he got murked.
He never got that aggressive. He was right. He brought the fucking job to them. He's already a degenerate gambler. He brought the job to them that was basically one of the biggest thieving papers in the fucking world, in America.
But that's the thing. Jimmy did pay. He didn't pay him all the money, but he did pay him.
He never gave Maury his bread. Like Maury said, people are showing
that's
up with fur coats and fucking cars.
Isn't that why Maury got killed? Because he kept
going. Yes, he wouldn't stop beefing.
He's like, I might have to run my mouth, but my shit. If I remember correctly, tell me if I'm wrong.
He wouldn't stop
him
beefing.
Chirping, and then they were like, you gotta go. And he clipped them. But every time you clip somebody, it makes it hot. You can't just be clipping people, fam. It's not easy. Trust me. You know what? Don't trust me. I don't know what you're talking about. But you can't just clip people. It's not easy. You've got to get away with it. It's not TV.
Yeah.
You can't just kill niggas. So once you shoot a dude, people be like, what happened to that nigga? Last time you saw me, got in your whip. I don't trust Chantel's barber to be at the script. That's why I don't sit in the front.
Stop saying Chantel's barber.
Barbers. Stocky ass thing. Let them put a bullet in the back of my head. I'm going fucking out. I get it. He got clipped, and then at that point, so we're at the point after they found the guys in the ice truck, and when Tommy gets killed, we had a conversation about it. We can talk about it just. What is your opinion of how Robert De Niro...
He took it hard. Because you think about it. He knew he could never be made.
In that moment, he thought that was it for him. He thought that he was about to become...
Think about it. When Tommy died, right? Yeah. Every, like, think about it. They had, like, a little celebration for him. Jimmy was really, really happy for him. So you think about it. The next day or days later, you find out your boy dead.
Oh, no.
And how he
later.
Knew.
It wasn't days later. It wasn't days later.
No, I'm saying, no. I'm not saying it was day later. I'm saying, say if it was you finding out your friend was dead, like maybe a day, days later, that would mess you up, especially if you're part of a crew and you know you
no,
can't
you know
be
know
made.
Worse? You know what's worse? Finding out 20 minutes after your nigga got murdered that he's dead. 5 minutes afterwards. Because he's calling. The scene is he's calling Tommy. They answer you like, how'd everything go? They say he's gone. He's like, what do you mean he's gone? They're waiting for him to show up at the diner. Like, they think he's coming to the diner, like, right now. And
he's
not coming to
the
diner. Yeah. And when
but what I'm
reacts,
saying
like,
is he took it really hard.
Of course. I think that
he
John
took
Seth,
it really hard
because
he
Niro,
knew what it meant. Like, Henry didn't know what it meant, but he knew what it meant.
See, I don't see it that way. I see that his man died, and it fucked him up.
No, that's what I'm saying. He took it hard, but you think about it. If they're part of an organization, right? If they were, like, clicked up, right? Even though they're part of a crew, like, one big organization, but they're their own crew. If two of their members can't be made and only one can, that's like you don't really have no weight like that. Even though that's your friend, you looking at it like, okay, yeah, my boy is gone, but look at how does it look as a crew. And
yeah,
that's how he took it. Why do you think he was excited for him?
See, I don't. I think
he came
the
across,
same
came
way.
Across to me was one of like the nigga I trust the most is gone, and there's nothing I can do about it. So I can't even reprise it. Not if I can go back and get the nigga.
Yeah, he can't. He can't do anything about it because one, he's Irish. Two,
I think we're missing something here. If Danny, my friend. Who might or might not have done many nefarious things, but is my friend.
Right.
Go somewhere to go get a bag. And I'm waiting for him at Jackson Hole in Grand Central, on the Grand Central. And I call somebody and they fucking tell me he's dead. All I'm thinking about is that my friend is dead. My career aspirations are not in my mind. I'm angry because he fucking kicks over a fucking phone booth, and then he lets out the saddest man cry I have ever seen in my life.
But that's what I'm saying. It was, but that's what I'm saying. There's a, but Chantel, you're not listening. You're like, oh, I lost my friend. Yes, I'm saying that one, yes, he is two parallels to that. What I'm saying is he took two losses at that moment. His friend. And a member of a criminal organization, somebody who represents his crew.
I don't think in that scene the way it's played out, the way I perceive it, and it could be I'm a person who's very. And it could
no,
be
but you
got to
look at.
To my
I mean, that how I took
so,
it was one. He lost his boy, but he lost somebody who could have been made, somebody who could have made their organization larger, because he was more excited about him being made because he couldn't be made.
I don't think it was that he was excited about him being made because he couldn't be made. The same way I'm excited when my friend gets their master's in law is the same way he was excited about his friend reaching the highest level of achievement in his chosen career. I don't think that I would be thinking at any point in time
but
how that
affected
Henry me.
Hill had a bigger issue with the not being made part than Jimmy Conway did. I didn't seem like Jimmy Conway had an issue with being made or not. I don't think he really cared about
I don't
that,
think he was trying to get
bread.
Me. He was an Irish dude who got to.
Because the thing was Henry Hill. Henry Hill was half in, half out. Jimmy Conway had no chance. There was never a conversation about it. It was never a debate. Like, he was just in a space where he was like, "Is what it is."
But you think about it.
And I think
it's almost like you're making a very valid point in terms of just being happy for your friends and their success. If you think about it. As the further you go up, I know me, the further I go up, my friends go up too.
But I think that might be you, and that might be, this could be a difference of how we perceive life. If a friend's achievement somehow is reflective on what you feel is going to be next to you, then it's going to be a twofold loss. But if you don't look at it as a
No, I don't look at anybody's accomplishments. I mean, I look at it like this. If I'm good, you're good. But at the same token, I look at it like you can't be necessarily a hater on your friends if that's really your friend. But what I'm saying is,
when I get killed for my actions, I want y'all to do a show after I'm dead, and y'all can talk about it and say, like, what bothers you guys the most? Because we can get this off the theoretical, and we can make this thing actual, factual. But sooner or later, when my actions catch up with me, you can have this conversation again and say which one bothered you most.
Okay.
Yeah, because sooner or later, you know, I'm carrying on a high level, so we'll see. I think that if you put it this way, the question isn't just changing around. If the
out of Henry and Jimmy, I know Jimmy took it harder than Henry.
Yeah, I don't think Henry was involved as much as Jimmy was. I think Jimmy didn't fuck with Tommy the same way that Jimmy fucked with Tommy more than Henry did. Henry was just there. Now, with that being said, if you were with somebody and they lost somebody and it affected them in that way, would you look at them different?
No.
What?
Meaning that if you know, I'm saying, like, if you were dealing with somebody and their friend was like a scumbag, but he died because he was a scumbag and took it aggressively hard, would you be able to, like, rock with him that way?
I'll let Tommy answer that, because you already know the answer to that question.
No.
I don't know.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to
answer
it.
Wait, say it again. Say it again.
What you're saying is basically, if you have a friend who's a fucking criminal and they get killed in the street, do you still mourn their
dead? No, if you're not even a criminal, but you have a boyfriend who has a friend who is a criminal, and he takes it aggressively hard, how long do you give that person to kind of like...
As long as they need. Who the fuck am I?
Okay. For you. Because some people feel like, all right.
I don't understand, like, do people not get when people are dead, they're dead? So, like, it's not for me to determine how long you process someone that you care about's death. And if you were my man and that was your friend, I already knew that my man's best friend is a scumbag. We've already covered this. So why am I going to be judging how long a person and their childhood friend or not childhood friend mourns that person's death? Like, but then again, some people do have.
I don't know. I feel like that's not for me to decide. I look at it like, you know, everybody deals with death differently. So that's not for me to decide.
That's not 100%. I'm not asking, like, it's not like one of those, it's not like the earth is flat conversations. I've heard people go like, he's a monster or whatever. You know, you get like a day and you don't get to mourn the nigga no more. Like, he was a piece of shit and you knew it. Why are you complaining? Same like when Stan Lee died, people like, he's old.
Well, the thing about it is, those
people mourn in their own way. This is like, okay, for instance, you have some people who literally don't give a person, you know, like, in terms of just when they find out somebody is dead. They don't sit on it. They literally like, okay, you know what, burial, wake, and there you go. And then you have some people who sit on it and go through a repast and all of that. So people do things their own way.
Everybody, I want a repast, by the way.
You say you want a repast?
All right, so where we're at now is Jimmy is now really paranoid at this point of the movie. And he's
Jimmy's
looking like
paranoid, and he's laying low. Henry is running all the coke that he's not supposed to be running. Because all this time, even after he came out of jail and Paulie told him to stop with the drugs, they keep fucking around selling the drugs. They got the babysitter running it. They got the babysitter running the drugs. They're doing all of the shit that they're not supposed to do because he's losing his following of the rules. And by not – now, this is the thing about rules. Rules do keep some order. The fact that they started breaking these rules and not doing what they were supposed to do and getting high off of shit is what got them caught. So even if they don't have
also told us don't get high on your own supply, but it's
right.
That's what happened.
Remember, he told Janice to do the dishes. Janice was a little fucking drug addict. The bitch was not Janice. Debbie Major's
her
character.
Best
he kept telling
friend.
Her to clean
he was
the house.
Her best friend.
Yeah. He told her to clean the house. She wasn't cleaning the house. he kept seeing these cars when he was going up and down Rockaway Turnpike, but they were to try and get that last little bit of money, especially after Tommy got killed, because they were worried that they were going to be next. Because now, if they know what Tommy did, they can only assume that Jimmy and Henry had something to do with it. So they're trying to get their money up real fast in order to kind of, like, dip off. But everyone is so fucked up off of coke that they're not operating at their best level. They're bad.
That's
like, they took a bad turn. Even Karen's taking a bad turn.
Yeah, because she's in it. Because she's all the way in it. Like, she's
Karen thought Jimmy was going to kill her, remember?
Yeah, because she was the reason to keep him.
She went to go see Jimmy about some money. He was like, look at those pianos over there. Some shit.
And then
she was going to die.
And that's one of my favorite parts of that movie was when she realized, like, oh, shit. Okay. And she's like, no, whatever you can
do
for you.
She was dressed in her funeral clothes.
Well, Jimmy was a survivor. That's the other thing. And I think that they broke Jimmy once Tommy was killed. That broke Jimmy.
So that's when he stopped worrying about everybody else.
Yeah.
He started worrying
about himself. He kept himself alive. You know, he didn't, and also he didn't snitch.
No,
because remember
nope.
who snitches at the end of this movie? After
Henry
all the
Hill.
Shit he fucking did, he's the one that told. He's
mm-hmm.
the one that
shit. You understand? He goes back to jail. You know, he goes to jail.
Yeah, he went back to jail after he was in witness protection.
But he went to witness protection in 1987. He was arrested in Seattle for narcotics conspiracy, which is hilarious.
But he didn't know how to do anything else.
No,
yeah,
he was a victim to his own habits.
Yeah, but I mean, on some level, for example, this could be a show, but it's not gonna. It's Red Dead Redemption, right? So we're at the end of the cowboy outlaw era, and it kind of leaning into the organized crime era. And just seeing that the outlaw era doesn't work in the organized crime era. They can't do things because they're against the thing. But organized crime, when it fell apart, it doesn't work anymore. You can't do organized crime anymore. It's too segmented. It's broke. So if you went to Seattle and do work, right, you could move drugs to Seattle, I think. But you can't move it how you moved it in New York. You're not next to Columbia. You're not next to Port. Whatever you do, if you live in the same way, you're going to get caught. Well, these people don't have the same rules set up as you had if you worked in, like, the mob.
Yeah, because the laws are different. The counties are different. So you get caught in a different county, it's different types of time or different charges.
Well, he had 25 years of marriage. Him and Karen separated in 1989. Paulie died in 1988. Jimmy Conway, I think, died
relatively recently.
Yeah. I believe Jimmy Conway died recently, but you can't see these people as they actually are because they're actual versions.
And
of them,
when they went to his house, they excavated on that block in Ozone Park, and they found dead bodies.
Who, at Paulie's crib?
No, Jimmy's crib.
I believe it.
Yeah. You're going to put him in that little... that bush area where on your way to, what's the thing? On your way to Five Towns.
Right. Well, also not even there. They did
oh,
a lot of
Henry Hill's dead too.
Yeah, he died recently too.
2012.
But they found a lot of dead bodies on the conduit going towards like pink houses where it was a lot of empty land. When they started to redevelop that after they made the Linden Movie Theater, when they were excavating over there, they would bury a lot of bodies.
Wait,
over there.
Is that over where the black cowboys are at?
Yes. Yep.
I don't
believe
like
it.
That. I don't like that.
Well, that's what they use.
People
to do.
Who listen to the show, I don't like black people and horses. It makes me very uncomfortable.
you are too much.
I don't. I'm not a fan of black people and horses. I want to know where the fuck you're going, what you're trying to do. Okay, so let's do final thoughts then. Figuring we're getting close to the end. We have another 10 minutes. So let's do final thoughts. In grand scheme movies, where do you see this movie laying itself at? Like I said, Godfather and everything else and that type of genre. Where do you see it?
I don't know. I love The Godfather. I got to watch The Godfather again, though. It's been a while.
It moves very slow. To me. I mean, now, if you try to watch it now, it moves really slow. It just involves just a bunch of talking, and then Sonny beating that guy up. That's the best.
I know what it is. Goodfellas taught me why Paulie was against everything they did.
Yes. Everything that Paulie said he didn't want to do was for a reason. And when they did it,
like,
they went to shit.
You know what it is? You know how some people could see, you know how, like, when they see, like, evil and they step away from it? Paulie already kind of knew what was going to happen, but he kind of chose to trust.
Because
think about it, he was dead set on not.
Paul Savino. I think Paul Savino to me, peace guy. So if someone's like, I'm not listening to you, I can't see Paulie doing anything to you if you don't want to listen.
Like Paulie reminds me of my grandpa. Like, he kind of gives you the benefit of the doubt, even though he knows it's going to happen.
He's the most Italian man.
Like, you know how they be like, hey, you. It gives you the benefit of the doubt, but it's like they want you to make your own decision anyway. And that's what Paulie did. He should have just, like, literally, like, put the beats on him or something.
So, overall thoughts then.
Like, you know, like, if he couldn't know what Henry was really doing. He should have got people to beat him up or something. He just left him.
No, I came to it so late that when I watched it, he was the guy from Law & Order to me. So Paul Savino's always going to be the first detective from Law & Order to me, always. So he's being a criminal in this. I'm like, no. Nope. No. He's like, it'd be Lenny Briscoe if Lenny Briscoe came back to life. Oh, that's, I'm gonna do that show. Be great, but Buddy Bristol came back to life and was like, "Oh, I'm a crime boss." I'm like, "No, you're Lenny Goddamn Brisco." So, Chantel, give me your beginning, your middle, and what's your thoughts of this movie?
It is one of the best feats of storytelling, on film. It teaches you that there are consequences for your actions. It teaches you about friendship. It teaches you about how not to be a bad friend.
That's
true.
It
also teaches you that if you run, they will catch you. And if you fucking do coke, you're going to get fucked up in the game. You become a fucking, you know.
If you do,
it's just what it's going
to
be.
Just say no to coke.
It taught you that you got to follow the rules because the rules are set up for a reason. And if you don't follow the rules and you can mess up everyone's thing, you're not more important than the collective, and they will kill you if they have to for everyone else.
There's no I in team.
So, it's a pretty solid storytelling.
Now I'll ask you this question. If they remade this, who would play who?
If they remade this movie?
Yeah, they remade Goodfellas right now. I'm not going to ask you if they should, if they shouldn't. But if they did, who would you want to play what?
That's a toughie.
Well, I think that if the movie was remade now, I think Robert De Niro would make a good Paulie because he's got that quiet intensity about him.
I think
I could see Mila Kunis playing Karen. I could see, the Joe Pesci character is going to be difficult because you got to be fiery, but I feel like you could get like a Mark Wahlberg kind of energy. He's a little old for it, but Wahlberg might be solid in there.
It's going to be a little bit old for the problem.
I'm looking at like, I'm thinking in my head, like, cause you know, it would be Goodfellas, like people who look somewhat Italian. Or somewhat, you know what I mean? Olive tone. That's what I'm thinking of actors in that genre. That's why I said this is a toughie.
Cause I
definitely think that
Mila
Kunis would be a good Karen.
I feel like Goodfellas.
Like, I think I do like Mila Kunis for Karen. I could see her as Karen.
I don't think she has the acting range for Karen, though. Do you think she can bring that type of noise?
She might be able to.
I don't know if she'd be it.
And then you had to find somebody with bangs. Karen had bangs.
Wait, I mean, that's the least.
Kind of like a Zoe Dantchel type character.
No way, no how.
But Zoe Dantchel is too comedic.
No, I fucking hate that bitch. I hate that bitch. I didn't buy an iPhone until her iPhone campaign
you
was
hate
done.
Zoe Dantchel?
I hate that bitch. I
you know what
not
I'm gonna do now?
My
you know what I'm gonna do?
Until
I'm gonna meet her in the world, and I'm gonna start dating her, and it's gonna be me dating Zoe Deschanel. It's me
that's
and her
no
to date now. I'm
no
bringing
problem,
to your house. Bringing to your house.
I'm
like she likes a Smith, is what I'm gonna say.
Whoa.
No,
I'm
like
here.
A Smith is not.
It would be difficult, but I would say that the person that I can see more of the girls playing the side chick. Yeah. I'd like to see Drita from Mob Wives as one of the wives, like at that party, at the hostess party.
She kind of looks like Janice. She kind of looks like Janice Rossi.
Yep.
Because remember Janice Rossi had red hair?
Yep. Janice Rossi was in 2R, who's a fucking whore.
She's a goddamn hooah. I was at a party on Saturday, and all I was like, dress up as hooah.
But you know who would kind of be good as the side chick?
All out. Carry on, you.
The chick that was in Focus with Will Smith. The one that was in Suicide Squad.
Oh.
Margot Robbie.
She was in, that's a Scorsese movie, too. She was the second wife in Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
She's Australian. I know you're talking about. She's blonde.
Yeah.
She did a good New York accent.
She's good looking in a dangerous way where you feel like you give her all your shit.
That's usually
the project. I don't know how it's going to age out, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie. Yep, that's it.
That's
I don't know if she could, because her accent, but it's not. This would be almost racist if she did the accent in a mob movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think we're playing post-racial at this point where you got to be very careful who you get to play things. So, for example, like, remember when Luke Cage season 2 came out, people getting angry about the West Indian accent? You just can't have people do an Italian accent.
Right.
But they're not doing Italian accents. They're doing New York accents.
That's the same thing.
It's not the same thing. The accent is actually based in Germanic speaking. Now, don't get me to get into my nerd bag, but
it's Italian via Germanic with Flemish on the back end of it is what drags
and a little
it
bit
down
of
to the yeah, a lot of Yiddish. That's why Bugs Bunny is either Italian or Jewish, depending how you look at him.
Right.
So, like, I mean, I
all I'm saying to you is that Robert De Niro would need to make a return.
Yeah, to some level, yeah. Sure.
Ooh, you know who I think would be good too? Remember the dude who played on Training Day?
Or Ethan Hawke?
No, the one who played the Vato, and he was just like, "Oh, you said my cousin cut class him." He's good with changing roles. I could see him playing an Italian.
Wait, well, what was his name on that movie?
Wasn't his name Carlos or something like that? He played, remember his
name? Talking about Michael Pena?
I think that's him.
Is he the one who's in, like, the... Blah, 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 blah. He was, like, in that movie... Jesus, he does like the white comedy too.
What about the guy Joseph Sikora, who plays Tommy on Power?
He could play Henry Hill, I think.
He could play Henry Hill. Yeah.
He could play Jimmy.
No,
too
young for Jimmy. Yeah.
Jimmy's like
you know
a
what
grown
they,
man
you know
when
what they need to
school.
Do. They need to do a black version. Just do black Goodfellas.
No.
I know you guys wouldn't like it for whatever the reason, but I feel like in terms of how they whitewashed our things, we could blackwash one of their things.
I don't know. Okay. Unless it was made in Italy, they
just,
redid some type of, you know.
All right, so
they did something.
Let me lay it out. So let's say it takes place in Italy amid the refugee crisis, and they created their own kind of setup, and it's just Africans in Italy doing Goodfellas in Italy. Would you watch that movie?
No.
No.
You're so
see now, if you made it
but
right,
because, no,
I wouldn't either.
So right. But let me say that if you want to have something that's like Goodfellas with black people, that's The Wire. That's the whole Barksdale crew. That's the Barksdale crew in many ways. You just rewrite them a little bit differently. But no, I think that if Goodfellas was remade, it would need to be the same type of story. The similar types of people.
Similar type of rules.
Yeah.
Even though they backwards as fuck on The Wire.
He's clean now, but the guy who played Calogero in A Bronx Tale, the really good actor, he would make a really good Tommy.
Not the kid.
The guy.
Kids and kids.
Yeah, no, he's out of jail. He's been out of jail for a lot of years. Leo Brancato.
Did he murder a nigga?
He was a person who helped, who was a part of a cop being killed. He's out of jail. He's home.
A lot of people getting out of jail for things that are not as bad as what other people did. Fairly enough.
I know, and I hate it. That's why
but
I hate
fair
it.
Enough, I know a lot
yeah.
of people in jail are never getting out who've not done half of what other niggas have done. But
yep,
okay, justice system, we're on
yep.
board.
Mm-hmm.
It's trash.
I don't know. It would probably be good if it had like an Othello premise.
Mm-hmm.
But no. How is it? Wait, what do you mean?
Like, you know, like Shakespeare's Othello, in terms of like, you know, the black guy being a general and everything. But in terms of him being a head of an army, it'd be a crime syndicate.
They're not letting no Mooley be the head of no fucking mafia crime syndicate, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have to be one where the things have to be set up and exist in reality. And I think New Jack City worked in reality on some level. All right, we're closing out, everybody. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Chantel, for your time.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Carmen, for calling in.
Alrighty.
Okay, I'm going to give you guys how you get in if you want to hit up. Next week, we'll be talking about religion, talking about how Muslims suck. How Jews suck and how Christians suck. We'll get to the bottom of it. That's terrible.
Okay, I'm gonna send you something on nihilism.
Please do.
All right.
Mm. All right,
later. Later.
Bye, y'all. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This has been a pretty good one. Getting to New York, what have you. And I'm gonna force Brooklyn Black to go 3 minutes early so we hit the entirety of the song. But you wanna go to blacknpr.com. As well as blacknpr@twitter.com. Anywho, enjoy the rest of this. Enjoy the back end of one of the greatest scenes of cinema. It'll be 2 minutes extra. So that's gonna kill me, but I think you guys deserve it. Have a great night, everybody.
we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I'm here to voice it. I'm here to voice it. I'm here to voice it. I'm here to voice it.